So that's actually one of the things that I kind of want to clarify with a lot of people. A lot of people always call it Ouija boards, and anybody who works with spirits or does energy work or has any experience with the paranormal knows that a Ouija board is Mattel's version of a spirit board. So that was originally created and manufactured as a toy. What I was using, my dad actually did a whole bunch of research and found out what is the original spirit board, which looks incredibly different from a Ouija board. And that's what we were using.
For about 100 years or so, ghost hunters have been using devices to speak to the dead. And today we'll be using the OG EVP machine, the Ouija board. I'm Dory Peacock, and this is the Ghost Box.
So it was like a Ouija board tip by like standardly only has like yes, no, and some letters on it. A spirit board has different animals, different seasons, different like sunrise, sunset. It's just a lot more elaborate and communicative, if you will.
This is Mary. She does energy work and a bit of witchcraft. More from her later. She's right about the term Ouija board. It's one of those brand names that's become synonymous with the product, like nylon, Vaseline, or tater tots. Yeah, tater tots is trademarked. Weird, right? Learned that from RLM. Originally, these types of boards were called talking boards or spirit boards. If you've never seen one of these things, it's a game board that has the alphabet, the words yes and no, and numbers 1 through 9 printed on it. It comes with a little teardrop-shaped instrument called a planchette that has a little lens in it. You put the planchette on the board, grab a couple friends, everyone puts a finger on the planchette, and then you ask questions of any spirits that might be around, and the spirits guide your fingers to the appropriate letters to spell out their answers. The history of the talking board is a little murky. There's evidence to suggest that a similar tool for necromancy existed in ancient China, and that it was banned sometime after the 1600s. It's unclear, however, what influence that had on the Western idea of a talking board, but stealing stuff from Asians is what white people do best, so you never know. Spirit boards started popping up in Europe in the 19th century. They caught on in America later when the spiritualism movement began to boom. This means I finally get to describe spiritualism. Yes! Spiritualism is sort of a broad term. It refers to an increased public interest in spirituality and the afterlife that happened in the early 19th century. It started with Christian women who claimed to have prophetic visions or receive hidden knowledge from spirit guides during trances. There were also those who claimed to discover treasure and lost objects using instruments like witching sticks and seer stones. A lot of the religious movements that survive today came from the tradition of spiritualism and its offshoots. It blew up as a pop culture phenomenon when two sisters, Kate and Maggie Fox from rural New York, debuted a stage show in which they communicated with ghosts using a series of knocking sounds, or rappings as they called them, like this. I could do a whole episode about the Fox sisters, but I won't. Suffice to say, they turned the spiritualism movement from an esoteric religious revival into entertainment spectacle. Their act spawned hundreds of imitators and led to the popularity of living room seances in posh homes. Part of the Fox sisters' shtick was reciting the alphabet and asking the ghost to knock when they got to the letters that spelled their name. They would also ask questions and ask for knocks to indicate yes or no answers, like so. Knock once for no, twice for yes. Are you a spirit? Did you die? Were you murdered? Spell your name. A, B, C. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, A, and so on. As you can imagine, that was pretty tedious, so mediums who want to speed up the process go, oh, hey, we can get one of these nifty talking boards they have in Europe and spell things out pretty quickly. And Charles Kennard, head of the Kennard Novelty Company, goes, oh, hey, these spirit board things are getting popular. I bet I could mass produce those. Because capitalism, gotta capitalize. So Charles Kennard grabs a couple of buddies, including lawyer-inventor Elijah Bond, and they form a company and decide to patent their own talking board. In 1891, Bond registered the patent for the first Ouija board and assigned the rights to Kennard Novelty. The origin of the word Ouija is mysterious. It has many theories. The prevailing one, popularized by Charles Kennard himself, is that Elijah Bond had a seance with his sister-in-law, Helen Peters, who he said was a medium. During the seance, they asked the spirits what they should call the board, and the spirits spelled out O-U-I-J-A, Ouija. When they asked the board what it meant, the board spelled out, good luck. From there, the rumor spread that Ouija was some kind of ancient Egyptian word meaning good luck. There are also those who claim it was a combination of the French and German words for yes, but I don't know where that came from. The interesting thing about patenting a Ouija board is that in 1891, in order to secure a patent, you had to prove that your invention worked. The story goes that Bond and Peterson went to the patent office together and offered a demonstration. The patent officer asked them to have the spirit spell out his name correctly, without Bond or Peterson knowing his name. Shockingly, the board came through and the frightened officer issued the patent. If you were raised in the 20th century, it probably seems pretty cavalier for a toy company to just build a tool for necromancy and market it to families and children. But at the time, seances were so common that they were sort of considered wholesome family fun, and the Ouija board was a harmless novelty. The boards weren't considered a dangerous tool for dark forces until the 1970s. What happened in the 70s?
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
The Exorcist.
Yep, as usual, the Exorcist ruined everything. Well, that's what people say, that the first depiction of a Ouija board as a negative force was in the movie. But I don't think that can be the end of the story. Mainstream religions had beef with the spiritualist movements and its trappings for a while before that. So the Ouija board got swept up into the satanic panic of the 80s, along with metal music, Dungeons and Dragons, and backward masking. Among paranormal experts, opinion on Ouija boards is mixed. Some see it as a neutral tool that can be used for good or bad, some see it as a dangerous portal, and others don't really believe in them at all. Mary doesn't see the board itself as good or bad, but a method of communication that should be handled carefully.
I thought it was really important to be authentic, and I have a very strict code of conduct when it comes to choosing to interact or engage with anything paranormal, because you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what they're capable of. I've been fairly lucky in the sense that I've really only had maybe two or three negative experiences like that like scared the crap out of me. And this is one of them. And so under no circumstances do I ever use a spirit board to do energy work while inebriated. That means no glasses of wine. You know, even anything as simple as like ZQL or NyQuil. Like, you want to be completely clear state of mind whenever you channel. And I feel like that's important because I found out afterwards that the spirit board I was using had my mom and her friends previously at a party where people were intoxicated, and that just opens up a whole portal that's not good. So I'm pretty sure this is where part of my experience stems from. But I had a friend of mine over one night. It was just a weekend night, you know, we're just hanging out, and I'm the oddball in my group. I practice witchcraft. I do. I've been involved in a lot of different religions, so just very curious, I guess you could say. And so I got out first my seeing eye, which I use. You use like a magnetic pendulum with, and we just kind of, for lack of a better term, played around with that. You ask simple yes or no questions. It's kind of like a magic eight ball, but in a board form. And then I practiced Reiki. I did some Reiki on her, and that was when she wanted to get out the spirit board. And I was like, okay, I went over the rules. We did our grounding. We did our protection circle. And I allowed her to ask some questions. And they started off fairly innocent, just yes or no. It wasn't moving that much, and we were like, okay, we may be having like a bunk experience, maybe somebody doesn't want to communicate with you, I don't know. But then out of nowhere, like not even prompted, not even, we didn't ask a question, none of that, the board started to move, and it started to spell out K-I-L-L. Huge red flag for me. I almost wanted to stop, but curiosity got the better of me. I'd never had an experience where something was that aggressive. So I was very thrown off. So I asked my friend, I was like, do you want to keep going? Like, this is ultimately up to you. And she said, yes. And so she asked, kill who, kill what? And it started to list out initials, and the initials didn't really mean anything to me, but my friend's face went super pale. And at that point, she was done. She wanted to be done with the board. I was like, you have to sit here because there's a proper way to close it down. She didn't want to do that. So I had to close it down myself, and she would not touch it after that. At which point I got rid of the spirit board because I did not want that in my house. Like I say, I attribute that to the fact that people were using it inebriated. Whenever you're inebriated, your mind is altered and you are not, you're not welcoming positive energy or positive spirits. I don't know if anything really came of it, but I do know that something was channeling, trying to get my friend to kill somebody that meant something to her, because she knew what the initials were, she just wouldn't tell me.
Even in Ouija board stories, a spirit telling you to kill is pretty rare. This is the first time I've heard a story with such a hostile spirit. The typical Ouija board story is less about what happens while playing the game and more about what happens later. As in our next story, from Georgina.
Starting out, like, my family has always been interested in ghosts. We actually found out recently that a lot of our ancestors from Belgium were spiritualists, which kind of made sense to us. I had actually been warned to not, you know, use Ouija boards or anything by one of my aunts. She had told me a story probably around the time that I bought my Ouija board that I think it was her aunt, it could have been her mom, but I remember it being her aunt. She said her aunt and some friends, they had like this shed in the backyard and it had a dirt floor. And this was in China. So they kind of made like a makeshift Ouija board in the dirt. Like they kind of used a stick and did the characters in the ground, and then they used a bowl as the planchette. And so they were doing that, you know, talking to spirits. And then the next day they went back to the shed to do it again. And the bowl, which had been face down, was flipped up and it had hair in it. And I mean, this sounds like from a horror movie, but the aunt who told me this, I just don't see her making it up. And like, she won't have anything to do with like ghosts or spirits, so I completely believe her. But, you know, I heard this weird story and I didn't listen, and I still used a Ouija board, and then I had weird stuff happen. So I'm not an advocate of the Ouija board. Like, I'm fine with ghosts and trying to communicate with them, but not with the Ouija board. When I was a kid, I always wanted a Ouija board. I didn't get one. I was warned about them. You know, there are times where I made one just on paper, you know, writing out the alphabet and yes and no and goodbye, and then using like a shot glass. But then eventually I went and I bought a Ouija board from Toys R Us when I was in, I think it was fifth or sixth grade. So beginning of middle school. And I kind of used it on my own. I don't remember how that worked, but I used it a lot on my own. And then I finally convinced one of my friends to do it with me at a sleepover. And for this sleepover, my ex-stepdad, my stepdad at the time, he was actually out of the country for work. So at the house, it was just me, my mom, my two little sisters, who at the time were probably toddlers because I was in middle school. But me and my friend, we at the sleepover decided to use the Ouija board. And when we were using it, nothing too weird happened. Like, we were, you know, having communication. Like, we were asking them questions and they were responding. So, but nothing really weird, nothing that stood out to us. One spirit that we spoke to said it was my, they said they were my great grandma who had passed away recently, but I'm not too sure it was actually her.
She had just passed. So I think that was kind of fresh in my mind. So I think, I don't remember exactly since it was years ago, but I can imagine that I probably like was like, oh, is, you know, Grandma Jane here? And then, you know, it could have been her, but I doubt it again. But I think whatever more malicious spirit that was there could have just taken my suggestion and gone with it. And I remember we just asked like really dumb questions. Like, my stepdad at the time, he was in Amsterdam for work. And so we like asked the spirit things like, oh, what is he gonna bring us back as a souvenir? And like the spirit said, wooden shoes. And he did bring us wooden shoes. So they were right. But it honestly, it was really uneventful what happened with the Ouija board. Like, there wasn't anything creepy that happened other than, you know, the planchette, you know, moving and getting responses. But they didn't really say any, the spirits we talked to didn't really say anything malicious or creepy. They just, you know, one posed as my great grandma.
But later that night, the house did have kind of a weird feeling. Just as kind of backstory, the house that I grew up in, it was, we could tell it was like haunted pretty immediately. Weird things happened. And that night, my mom and I are in her room watching a movie, and my two little sisters are asleep. And we're laying there in her bed, and we hear a huge crash downstairs. So, you know, we're like, what the hell was that? You know, it's just me and her, my sisters are asleep. So we run down there. And we had this hutch in our dining room, front room area. And my mom had received as a present from one of her clients, like this metal frog wine holder. And she had taken the bottle of wine out. So it's just this big metal frog that's supposed to hold a bottle of wine. That was sitting on top of the hutch, but when we went downstairs after the loud crash, that was across the room. And there was also a picture frame with family photos that had been up that was also across the room. And it didn't make sense for them to fall on their own. They weren't like propped and resting or something, you know, like the frame was on the wall and the sculpture was on top of the hutch. And they were they didn't just fall, they were across the room. So that really freaked us out. And with kind of the weird experiences we had in the house, like, we immediately thought ghosts. Like, neither my mom or I were rational at all. Like, you know, we weren't trying to explain it. It was like, and after that, it was right after we had used the Ouija board. So, like, I was freaked out. So after that, I felt like the hauntings in the house kind of got worse. For example, so again, I was in middle school and I had the Bratz dolls convertible and it had a radio, but the batteries had died in it and it was just sitting in my closet, and that would just, the radio on the car would turn on in the middle of the night, like, and it was multiple times a week and I knew the batteries were dead. So it was like weird stuff like that. My sisters had experiences, but with the Ouija board, I won't touch it again. I put it into my closet and I hid it behind a bunch of junk. I knew where it was, but I was not gonna touch it or do anything with it. And then, you know, it was after I put that in there that, like, the radio started turning on the middle of the night in my closet. And I was, like, so used to, like, ghosts that I, like, one night when it happened again in the middle of the night, I, like, yelled, like, leave me alone. And the radio shut off. So I haven't touched a Ouija board since, because it really did freak me out, the amount of things that happened right after using it and things that weren't nice.
Many Ouija board encounters end like Georgina's, with somebody burning or putting away a board after a dark encounter. There are enough of these stories that it would be easy to conclude that Ouija boards are an unstable portal to the other side. But then again, there could be social and psychological explanations. You know how sometimes you hear a new word and then it seems like everybody has started using it, and you hear it all the time? It's not that the word has suddenly caught on, it's that you're now hyper aware of the word, so you notice it more when it pops up than you probably did before. That might be what's happening with Ouija boards. Someone hears that Ouija boards are dangerous and scary, and suddenly they're hearing spooky Ouija board stories all over the place. Then maybe they dabble with a board, and their spooked out mind becomes hyper aware of anything out of the ordinary, which makes it feel like more scary things are happening. And what's the most available explanation for scary things happening? The Ouija board. Okay, you say, but people who use Ouija boards swear that they didn't move the planchette. Are they lying? Well, not necessarily. Scientists believe that what moves the planchette around the Ouija board is not the will of a disembodied spirit, but a physical phenomenon called the ideomotor effect. The ideomotor effect essentially refers to imperceptible, unconscious movements. So, you're thinking of an elephant, you put your hand on the planchette, and without meaning to, your hands spell out the word elephant, or maybe trunk, or tusk. And there's some strong evidence for this. On Penn & Teller's debunking show, Bullshit, they conducted an experiment where they had a group of people use a Ouija board. Then, they blindfolded them and substituted a different board with the letters and numbers rearranged. When the participants used the new board while blindfolded, their hands moved the planchette to where the letters had been on the original board, not where they were now with the new board. This indicated that the planchette was being driven by the movements of the living participants, who could subconsciously remember where they were on the old board, and not by spirits who could see the new board. So maybe knowing that her stepdad was in the Netherlands, where wooden shoes are a common souvenir, Georgina and her friend unconsciously spelled out wooden shoes on the board. The ideomotor effect may even be responsible for the naming of the board and the demonstration that got it its patent. Some sources claim that when Elijah Bond and Helen Peters did their first seance with the new board, Helen was wearing a pendant bearing a picture of her favorite author inscribed with the author's pen name, Ouida, O-U-I-D-A. Perhaps the two of them subconsciously absorbed that information and reproduced it with the ideomotor effect. And since Bond patented other inventions, it's possible that even if he didn't know the chief patent officer's name, he could have seen it throughout the course of patenting other objects, or picked it up somewhere. I like to imagine that the officer had a plaque with his name on it in his office, and he just, like, forgot it was there. Wouldn't that be amazing? If the ideomotor effect is in play with Ouija boards, that's still pretty amazing. It means that our bodies can communicate subconscious thought without conscious permission. And it means human beings are capable of synchronized unconscious movement with very little effort. It also might mean that we are capable of storing and reproducing information that we don't even know we have. That alone kind of blows my mind. If Georgina's unconscious grief for her Grandma Jane was coming through in a physical way, or if Mary's friend was manifesting a deeply buried hostility without realizing it, that's almost as magical as communication from a spirit. But what if a Ouija board tells you things you really couldn't know? What if it misspells words you know how to spell? Enter my friend Alex. His story, it's important to note, takes place in Utah, where Alex is from.
It's kind of funny. There's strange, and then there's like almost just completely unbelievable. Like it, when it was happening, or when the occurrence has taken place, those of us who were involved, we kind of sat there afterwards and were like, was that even real? Did that just happen? And it feels like you're actually watching a movie. And to that, I actually have a hard time watching certain films, because when I watch them, I get the same feeling that I did when those occurrences had happened. And it feels almost too real because it was similar to what I had experienced. One of the weirdest ones actually happened with myself and my wife. So we had, previous to that, gone through a kind of a faith crisis, and we had changed our beliefs and what we had believed in. So when it happened, I was totally 100% convinced that the events that were about to unfold were not gonna happen. With that, I had been going to college, and we had a project that was proposed to all of us to go ahead and participate in. The proposed idea was this, was we needed to create something that was going to be a recording of a moment of time. Now, it wasn't to be like a recording, like, I guess, documented, or to be visually representative of an event, but to have been something created whilst the event was taking place. So it was for a course that was to depict artwork. And with the depiction of artwork, I was kind of, I'm not really familiar with kind of like abstract or the bizarre type thinking of artwork. I'm more traditional in my approaches to creating. And so when that idea was posed, I was really struggling. I didn't know what to do. Other people in my course were trying to record moments such as dipping branches of a tree in ink and then putting it next to a canvas. And as the wind blew throughout the day, the tree was going to record its movements throughout the day, for instance. I was like, man, I'm not feeling that. That just does not make sense to me. Well, I had been kind of researching some things, trying to figure out what was real. What was, you know, when it comes to spiritual things, what is a real occurrence? And when it was my turn to propose an idea for the rest of the classroom, I had actually come up with kind of a wild idea. I thought, well, what if I made a Ouija board? And what if I put tracing paper over it? And I created a way for the planchette, which is the kind of the moving piece, to actually record the movements. In doing this, I had researched in great depth about this type of stuff. And I had realized that it was completely and utterly not true. Having had grown up in a household where people were like, oh my gosh, that stuff is so real, you need to be careful. I'd done the research and had realized, you know, this was a thing that had become really popular during the 1800s in the Victorian era. Therefore, Harry Houdini and people came through debunking all of that type of stuff. And I was definitely on the side of Harry Houdini and like, you know, people really work themselves up. Upon making the Ouija board, I really spoke for all the bells and whistles. I really did a real heavy job of making sure it was depictive, very beautifully and intricately made. I actually literally, as I'm speaking to you, have it within 20 feet of me inside of a book. The wild part was, is that I had invited my entire class to come to my home. And then some of the other people, as I proposed the idea, one of my classmates was like, dude, how about we do it at my abandoned barn that my family owns? And I was just wanting to see what the human interaction was going to be with this board. I wanted to see what people would do, how they would scare themselves, and how things would get really, you know, just probably silly. And I was just going to delight in watching them kind of scare themselves. And that was going to be my project. So the best part was, is a lot of my classmates, they were not, let's just say, not religious people. And they're like, oh, that would be so cool. And I invited this entire classroom of people to come and join me in doing this seance ritual. And I got, everybody was like resounding yeses all the way around the room. Everybody was so down to do it. And as we're getting ready to, you know, the time's drawing closer to actually perform this, the guy that had the barn calls me and he's like, dude, I can't do it. He's like, I thought that I didn't believe in this stuff, but I'm getting really scared. And I don't want to have this like bad vibe. And I'm kind of worried that something bad's going to happen. I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. Well, I wasn't too concerned. Because I was like, hey, you know what, we've got, there's a park nearby my house that's kind of cool, kind of scary setting. I'm like, that'd be fun. It'd probably work them up even more. And I was stoked for it. Well, as I'm watching the weather, it was going to be a complete and utter snowstorm that night that I had planned for it. And so there was no way that I was going to be able to actually do it at the park. Well, I was kind of getting bummed out. I'm like, well, I guess, you know, we can just do it at our apartment. Well, as I'm waiting for people to show up or to get messages, and I'd sent everybody a thing saying, hey, you're invited, you can come. The last invitation or last invited person responded 30 minutes after the time we were supposed to meet to inform me that they were not going to make it because they didn't feel like they wanted to do it. So everybody bailed up, and this was quite troublesome because here I am sitting there trying to do a art project that is going to be due the next day and nobody's coming. So I'm like, oh my gosh. And so my whole plan was, I'm like, who cares? I'm going to go ahead. I'll do everything, set it up the way that, you know, I had read how to do it. And there's like 40 different versions of how to do it. And I was kind of, like, well, you know what, I'll just pick whatever of these things because it's not real anyways. So I'd actually gone down to a Hobby Lobby and I bought a whole bunch of candles and got everything up. And I'm like, well, yes, no one's going to show up. And so my sweet little wife's like, hey, I will do it with you. I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, let's just do it, I guess. I'm going to show up tomorrow. You know, in my mind, I'm sitting here thinking like, I'm going to show up with this little piece of, you know, tracing paper on the Ouija board, and there's going to be the dot just like stuck on there because it's not going to work. So I was not too nervous. I can't lie, when I lit the candles in the room and my wife comes back in, she's like, ah, this is kind of spooky. I'm like, yeah, I know, this is kind of weird. I'm like, I feel kind of stupid doing this. And you know, all in the name of, you know, science to prove to everybody that, you know, this crap isn't real. That this is just a big thing they got worked up over and there was no reason for it. You know, my wife comes in and she sits down and we had a coffee table on the ground there, and we decided we'd kneel down on the floor across from each other, across, you know, just looking at each other over the top of the Ouija board. And my wife's like, hey, can I burn some like white sage in the house? And my wife was still kind of, you know, into spirituality and things. And she's like, I'd like to kind of do that. I'm like, yeah, let's do that. She's like, can we like say a prayer? I'm like, yeah, we can say a prayer. And we just kind of prayed that nothing bad would happen, nothing strange would take place, and, you know, that we'd have a good time. And she smudges the house with sage. Cool. And there we are, just sitting in candlelight. I remember our dog was underneath the coffee table that we were sitting at, or kneeling at, rather. And we put our hands on the planchette that I made, and we just kind of waited there. So the planchette had a piece of kind of wide graphite stuck in the end of it, so that if there was any amount of pressure touched on it, it would start writing or anything. So I was kind of the initiator for it. I'm like, it's my project, you know, I'll just kind of do it. And I start just doing a typical normal, I'm just questioning, like, is there anybody there? Is there anybody there? And I just kind of sat there, as I was expecting, 100%. We're just sitting there. Everything is totally just whatever. And to the point where I remember looking across the table at my wife, we're kind of like laughing a little bit because we're like, this is so freaking weird. I never thought that we'd be doing something like this. And I'd say about, it was more than 5 minutes for sure, of literally just sitting there. And all of a sudden, the planchette starts moving. And it wasn't fast. It was like a very slow, just kind of scratching along, and it moves up to the yes on the Ouija board. At that point, I'm like to my wife and say to her, honey, you know I've got to turn in tomorrow. Why would you do that? And she pulls her hands off of the planchette and she says, why are you trying to scare me? And at that moment, I realized this was something else was happening. I remember being, this is kind of weird. I was always expecting that if I'd ever, you know, experienced something weird, like in this kind of a way, you know, with a Ouija board, I'd always expected that it would be like absolutely horrifying. And I'd also expected, I don't know why, I'd always thought like an entity like that would probably be masculine. I always thought that it would be, you know, just absolute and utter terror. And what happened after this was not that. I was like, okay, you know, right after it had moved. I'm like, okay, let's put our hands back on there. And we put our hands back on the planchette. And I'm like, what is your name? And it slowly scratches down over to the letter Y. It starts to spell out letter Y, I, V, E. Okay. At that point, I'm like, I mean, it almost seemed so surreal that none of it felt like this was actually happening right in front of us. After it moved, I was like, okay, this is just proving the point. Oftentimes, people are messing around with Ouija board. What happens is it's involuntary movement of the hand or directional eye movement, etc. And I'm like, there we go. Yiv, that's not a real name. Or Yive or whatever. And I'm like, there's no one has that name. Never heard of that name. Don't know. And I'm like, okay, are you a man or a woman? And it starts to move over to the W and starts to indicate that yes, it was a woman. I'm like, okay. And at first, I mean, the first moments of it seems so surreal and strange that it was kind of scary. But then within a moment or two, it was just like a complete and utter calmness took over, which was nothing like I was expecting. I thought I'd be like shaking because I've had previous experiences where I was left completely out of control as far as like shaking and trembling. It was almost like a trembling from the core, just true terror, but there was none of that. And I looked across at my wife and like, are you scared? She's like, no, I'm not. I'm like, this actually feels like okay. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna ask a few more questions. And one thing I'd asked is, how many children did you have children? How many did you have? And they'd written seven. It went down to the numbers at the bottom, seven. It's like, okay. So how long ago did you live? And it starts to move down to 18, and it's indicating, you know, 1800s. It starts to spell it out. Oh my gosh, okay. And the next thing is, I was like, so you got married then? It says, yes. How old were you when you got married? It goes down to the number one, the number eight, 18. I'm like, oh my gosh. At this point, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna ask some questions that might be a little more direct rather than just, you know, any whatever conjured up numbers. And I asked, were you a pioneer, like a Mormon pioneer? And they say, yes. And I was, okay. And then I asked, like, where did you get married? And this was interesting. They'd actually spelled Logan incorrectly.
For new listeners, Logan is a city in northern Utah. We've talked about it a little before on the show, but for now, all you need to know is that it was one of the first cities to have a temple built by the Mormon pioneers, and it's spelled L-O-G-A-N.
I found it puzzling when they spelled out Logan. They spelled it L-O-W-G-A-N. I was like, Logan, okay. Like, this is bizarre. So in my head, once again, I'm sitting there thinking, like, I would have never imagined that if I was having an experience, someone would be like, hey, I used to be an LDS spirit. I got married in the Logan Temple, you know, all this weird stuff. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna ask a real direct question. What year did you get married? So now I could find out if this was a lie or not. And they had written 1884. Okay, that's something I could fact check later, try to figure it out. And then I asked about how they had died, and the planchette stopped moving. And I asked, is it too hard to talk about that? And it moved up to yes. It's like, okay. And then I decided I'd ask, hey, is the afterlife anything like you were told it was in, you know, in your faith? And that was the first no they gave. And I asked, do you get to be with your families when you die? And it moved to yes. So at the end of that, that point had been going on for a while. I couldn't tell you how long. And nor do I remember very well, but I remember it was probably around half an hour. And I didn't know what else to ask. And I was kind of, you know, shook about what was happening, especially going into this imagining that I was only going to get, you know, a zero on the response of anything like this. And at that point in time, I was like, well, thank you. Goodbye. the planchette moved down at the bottom of a Ouija board. It has the words goodbye at the bottom, and it moved down to goodbye as we finished up. Just kind of sat there in disbelief. I flipped the lights on, blew out the candles. I just looked at my wife, and she looked at me, and we were like, can't believe this just happened. And I grabbed a piece of paper and wrote down as much information as I could remember. And we just kind of sat there for a moment. I just looked at the tracing paper on the Ouija board, and I was like, I mean, it's covered in scribbles. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And this may sound funny, but it was literally the most spiritual experience I'd ever had in a good way. It was not scary. I was not afraid at that point. What kind of set us off a little bit was, as you know, it got later and it was time to go to bed. I lay in bed and I couldn't sleep. I pretended to sleep the night. And I just remember laying there thinking, oh my gosh, if that person saw us, who else can see us? And that freaked me out, just that thought. And I'm like, I don't know if I can sleep. And I didn't. I showed up to class the next day and I'm like, I mean, how do you tell somebody or tell your entire class what happened and not feel like an absolute freaking moron, especially myself previous to it, not thinking that anything was going to happen, because I kind of just stopped believing in spirituality and I just kind of was leaning more into factuality. You know, this is what it is. This is reality. This is what happens. This is not what happens. And showing up to class and just telling them, guys, something wild just happened. And, well, I showed up with my Ouija board with scribbles all over it, and they were like, holy crap. Like, I mean, my professor was pretty wigged out, and he did ask me lots of questions afterwards, and I just don't know what to take from all this. Well, my wife and I, we talked a little bit about it, but we didn't talk continuously about it because it was so nerve-wracking and weird. I think that we were both kind of like freaked out about it in a way, just knowing that something had happened that we weren't able to explain. And to this day, I mean, it's been years now, and I asked my wife probably once a month if she moved that stupid planchette. I know, I guess I'd say I kind of got a little paranoid and kind of nervous after that, because at that point I started to like, oh my gosh, all my other experiences that I'd had, what was actually real? What were some of those things that had happened, say it blatantly, traumatizing things that had happened, could some of them actually been real? And I felt that that was kind of confirmation to me that some of it could have actually been what I thought it was.
So did you ever go and look up the wedding date that the speaker gave you?
That was the funny thing, is I'm not gonna lie, I didn't know crap about like that type of history. I looked up 1884. Well, if you look up when was the Logan Temple opened, surprise, surprise, there's a certain date right there. And it's the same. And it would have geographically made sense to go that way rather than towards any other direction to go get married, as far as LDS people would. The other thing is I looked up the name Yiv, and found it on one site, and it's like, this was a common name given to women back in the mid-1800s. I'm like, oh my hell. So those were the things that I'd looked up. I'm like, I wish I'd asked more questions.
or not the Ouija board is inherently good or bad, it was bad luck for its inventors. Kennard and Bond wound up leaving the company and being cut out of the profits right before the boards had a surge in popularity in the 19-teens and 20s. They fell into a series of public squabbles over the intellectual property rights to the board with William Fuld, who had purchased the rights and taken over the Kennard Novelty Company. Fuld himself met a disturbing end in 1927, when he died falling off the roof of a factory that supposedly a Ouija board told him to build. Today, the Kennard Novelty Company is a thing of the past, and the rights to the Ouija board are owned by Hasbro, the toy company that also makes My Little Pony. You can walk into any toy store and buy one. You can. But should you? Everybody, and thank you for listening. The Ghost Box is written, hosted, produced, and all the things by me, Dory Peacock, with mixing and scoring by Parker B. Abegg, who also composed our nifty theme tune. I want to thank Mary, Georgina, and Alex for sharing their stories, and it may interest you to know that Georgina is the bassist and lead singer of a cool local band called The Zizus. You can find them on Bandcamp, and I will put a link to that in the show notes. I also want to thank our four-legged production assistant, George Musington Adams Esquire, because of course my cat is a lawyer. A special thank you to the Patreon patrons who help keep the lights on over here in the box. Patreon is this nifty website where you can make monthly donations to support small independent creators like yours truly, and in return, you get awesome bonus content and other perks. So, if you'd like to toss a coin in the box, as they say, go to patreon.com/theghostbox and sign up for the donation level that suits your needs. Also, if you have a ghost story you'd like to share with us, email us at theghostboxpod@gmail.com or slide into our DMs on Instagram and Twitter at theghostboxpod. You can also call our paranormal hotline at 801-410-4315. That's 801-410-4315. Whether you call or email or DM, leave us a short description of your story, and if it sounds right for the show, I will get back to you. Finally, if you like the show, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts or your platform of choice. It helps people find the show. And if you didn't like it, well, maybe you don't deserve treats. Maybe you deserve tricks. Thanks again for listening. Stay spooky, everybody. Ghost box, ghost box, ghost box, ghost box. Get her done.
You're gonna die up there.